Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to We're Gonna Make It,
a monthly podcast about artists and their art things.
Wait.
What? What's wrong?
You know what I just realized?
What?
I don't think we've ever introduced ourselves at the beginning of an episode of the podcast.
I think we did in, like, the first episode.
Yeah, I think we did in the first episode, and then we kind of fell off the wagon there. People have had no idea who we are this entire time.
We should probably do that, then.
That sounds like a good practice, doesn't it?
It might be, yeah.
That sounds professional. You know, you listen to, like, a good, proper podcast, and they always say, "Hi, I'm Jonathan Goldstein," or something like that.
Yeah. Hey, we should get Jonathan Goldstein on here.
But in lieu of Jonathan Goldstein, star of CBC Radio's Wiretap, hi, folks. I'm Moss Shercogel, named after a plant.
And I'm Taylor Arsenault. And from what I can tell, I am the first ever girl to be named Taylor. I'm pretty sure it was all boys before me.
You're the eldest female Taylor.
And that's me, Taylor Arsenault, first of her name.
And this is our podcast. Welcome.
We took an episode off last month so that Moss and I could go on our honeymoon to Scotland.
Yes, but we are back now with amazing tales from abroad. How did you like Scotland, Taylor?
It was great. It was just phenomenal. I loved learning that castles can never get boring. I loved learning that haggis is good. I loved getting to know how incredibly nice the people in Scotland were. The scenery there was amazing. The history was incredibly satisfying. It was perfect. I would go back. I would recommend it to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm gonna actually debate you on one item there.
What?
The castles never getting boring. The castles were fantastic, but after we had been to like four or five of them, I remember we were driving one day and there was just this big, grand, amazing castle with like this huge bridge on the right hand side of the road, and we were just like, "Castle, do you want to stop?" "No." "Pass the chips. Pass the crisps."
We still took a picture.
We did. And then we saw it in Highlander. It was the castle that was used in the movie Highlander. And we didn't go there.
I still think that it's impossible for a castle to be boring. Just because we didn't go doesn't mean that it was boring.
It was very stimulating from the road.
So what about you? What are your opinions of Scotland?
I loved the sense of completionism that was inherent in the country.
What do you mean?
It's a small enough nation, I mean, compared to Canada at least, that you can count everything in it. And if you can count everything, then you can experience everything. At every little pub that we went to, in the darkest, most remote corner of the country, you would find over 100 bottles of scotch available, because the number of single malt scotches has been quantified. And so you know every bartender has the ambition of catching them all.
Okay. It's like Pokemon. I get it.
And they have something like 282 mountains that are over 920 meters or something like that, which is what they call Munros. And you can go Munro bagging, which is the attempt to climb every mountain over that height. And you can do this because it's a finite number. There's not going to be more mountains or fewer mountains. It's very unlikely. To attempt such a thing in Canada would be...
inadvisable, I'd say.
That's a courteous word to use.
Yes, Scotland was truly wondrous. And we began our adventure there in the magical city of Edinburgh.
Mm.
Not Edinburgh, Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. Edinburgh. Edinburgh. You got to do like, it starts being like a B-U, and then you quickly hit that R. Burgh. Edinburgh.
Yes.
That's how they said it.
Yes, that is correct.
Now, we were in Scotland just scant days after the conclusion of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is, it sounds stupid when I say Edinburgh, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, well.
Just say Edinburgh.
We were in Scotland just scant days after the conclusion of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is the largest arts festival in the world. And there was a power vacuum of sorts in the wake of the festival's extravagance.
The streets were quiet and calm. The city is always a tourist attraction, but the town felt like it was resting on the couch with a blanket pulled over its head after a long, hard party.
But as evening came about, and we stepped outside of the Scottish National Gallery, we heard a sound.
We stepped to the edge of the Mound, which is an artificial hill that connects the historic Edinburgh Old Town to its newer metropolitan developments.
And at this junction, which is a beautiful location with a lovely view of the city, at this spot, with the sky clear, dusk rapidly falling, we saw this. And the piper kept reassuring the audience that there was a drummer as well who was just running late that evening.
It just meant that the crowd had to keep time by clapping. The energy was electric off these guys.
They were fun. They were lively. They jumped a lot.
They jumped a lot.
And they played some really exciting new takes on old bagpipe classics as well as some catchy original material.
I tend to think of bagpipes as being kind of limited, since in Canada we tend to hear just that one bagpipe song played over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. Every single May Day on Quadra Island, every holiday in Victoria, always the same song.
And to no surprise, this band on the street played that song as well, but their version, a little different.
Since I'm always prepared, I just happen to have my digital recorder on me to snatch a quick interview.
Prepared. You know you got the interview the next day, right? Because as I recall, you didn't have the recorder. Then when you went to get it, you had to buy batteries from that seedy little corner store where the cashier literally had a claymore sword leaning behind the counter for self-defense.
Well, if I'd been more prepared, we would have missed that experience of seeing the man with the sword in the store. So no regrets. Plus, the drummer was actually there the next day, so all the better. I got to interview all three.
Anyway, get ready for Moss's interview with one of Edinburgh's preeminent groups of street musicians.
Also, I do apologize for the sound quality. We were outside. There's a bit of traffic noise in the background. There's actually some bagpiping in the beginning that is not the people I'm talking to. It would take just remarkable skill to play the bagpipe while also giving an interview and speaking. It was just coming from a store in the background, so
no.
Kind of thematic.
We're not saying they're not skilled enough to do that.
Oh, they easily could have.
We're just saying they didn't.
They didn't want to play bagpipe over the existing bagpipe. Too courteous.
Mm-hmm. First of all, what's the name of your band?
We're the Spinning Blowfish.
This month on, we're gonna make it the Spinning Blowfish.
Why the spinning blowfish?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's a combination of a number of things, not all of which we can necessarily share. In the end, we wanted a name that was universal, that didn't refer specifically to the fact that it's bagpipe music or anything like that. A lot of bands with bagpipers refer a lot to what the music is. We would rather let the name speak for itself and let the music speak for itself.
So. Do you find that there's a bit of a stigma against you for being bagpipe music? Does that bookend you a bit?
No, not necessarily, but some people have expectations about the bagpipes, which are turned on their head a little bit when they hear us, because they say, oh, I've never heard the bagpipes played with this combination, so it's the combination that's different, I think.
I do love the funk guitar, by the way. But sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. What are your names, guys?
I'm Dave, and I play the bagpipes.
I'm Ram, I'm the guitarist.
I'm Javier, and the drummer.
These sound pretty international. Where are you guys all from?
Well, I'm from Scotland here, you may have guessed that.
I'm from Italy.
And Spain.
Spain, really? So what brought the three of you together?
Well, basically, we were individually busking, actually. I was playing in the streets myself as a piper, and came across a guy playing the drums one day. And so we got together and tried jamming, and it seemed to work. And he already knew a guitarist from pretty much the same idea, and said, why don't we bring a guitarist along and see how that works? And then we did that, and then people started asking us if we were a band and whether we had a CD. Said, well, we're not a band, really, we've just been jamming, and we don't have a CD. And then we thought, well, let's go make a CD and let's become a band. The music started in the streets, actually.
What in the world made you join up with a bagpiper? What made you think that was a good idea?
I've always thought it was a good idea, because I've always wanted to kind of mix these kind of rhythms, the things I do, you know, with pipes.
Yeah.
So when I came across this guy busking, I asked him to jam together and see what happened. And actually, I mean, it worked. Kind of worked.
It sounded pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it was born.
And all three of you were in Edinburgh?
Yeah.
Now, how long have the three of you been playing together?
All together, really, as a band, it's been like, I guess, together maybe 8 months or something like that. Because we keep going away during the winter and getting back together in the summer. So we just come back here when it's warm enough for us. Mediterranean.
A fair weather band.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and what do you guys do when you're not out here playing on this? Is this a bridge? This isn't quite a bridge.
It's more a square.
It's a square. But what do you do in the meantime?
Well, actually, I play the pipes an awful lot, even through the winter sometimes, which isn't quite as much fun with the band. But also, you know, just natural things like doing a bit of travelling and seeing different parts of the world, things like that.
Yeah, I do lots of travelling during the winter. I go away myself to warmer countries.
Any in particular? Do you return to Italy or?
Sometimes I go to Italy and see my family and friends. Sometimes I go traveling off other even warmer countries. And
warmer than Italy.
Even warmer than Italy. Yeah. Have you ever heard?
Well, we're from Canada, so no. Totally foreign concept to us. And what about you? When you're not drumming with these guys?
Well, actually, my situation is pretty similar to the Rams one, because I travel a lot, and I normally, if you are from somewhere near the Mediterranean Sea and you spend your summer here, you need to catch up with the sun somehow. So you need to compensate. So during the winter, I try to go to warmer places. Not only Spain, as well, hotter ones, you know, like tropical ones, if possible. And I practice drums, and I'm a graphic designer as well. So I
bought your guys' demo CD yesterday. I haven't listened to it yet. What am I expecting? What am I going to hear?
Something old.
Something borrowed, something blue. No, not really. Well, actually, the demo was put together, as we said, it was the audience that told us to make a CD by people coming up and asking us if we had a CD. Oh, why don't you guys have a CD? So really, we put it together just as a demo when we hadn't been playing together long, really, in the first summer in 2011 when we got together in sort of August. So it's a bit rough and ready, but it's a bit lively and fresh as well, you know. Hopefully it has a bit of the energy, because we'd not been playing together long at all. We're also hoping that the tracks as we play them now have improved a little bit since doing the CD, with playing them a little bit tighter. But the CD itself, it represents where we started, basically. And that's all we wanted for people, a little bit of a souvenir of what it is we do, you know. How it began, basically.
Mm-hmm. Now, where did you guys get your hands on a recording studio? How did you put this together?
For the first demo CD, you mean?
Yeah.
Actually, we recorded two tracks in a studio, just pretty much recorded live, and the rest actually were recorded live here at the Mound.
Oh, were they?
We were busking, yeah, with my own portable recorder.
So
yeah.
They ended up sounding quite even better than the ones indoors, so we just kept them. We decided they were good enough for the sound. Like
that's excellent.
Yeah.
Are you a bit of the sound technician behind the scenes there?
Or? No, not really. I'm just the only one who has an amp because I need it. Not that I want it. I wanted to play something acoustic, but you can't possibly play anything acoustic when you have a drummer and a bagpiper. It's just too loud. Like, you need an amp.
Uh-huh.
So I happen to be the only one who has to carry electrical equipment. So I guess.
I saw yesterday that your wah-wah pedal was in a plastic bag. Do you come out here rain or shine?
Yeah, I always expect rain here. That's why I keep it in there even on sunny days.
And I'm sorry, I completely, because I didn't see you yesterday. Where were you yesterday? What were you doing?
I came late, actually.
Oh, you did? Oh.
So I came later.
I was too early. Mm. What kind of a set do you have here for your drums?
It's named Traps, mm-hmm. And they are not very good sound-wise, but they are portable, so
yeah.
You have to kind of trade off one thing for the other.
Bit of a compromise.
You have to bring it every day here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's good enough.
Yeah.
Gimbals are good,
mm-hmm.
So that's a lot. Like,
so how do you guys decide what you're going to play? Like, how do you determine what songs are going to make it into your sets here?
It's kind of come together originally quite organically, actually, because when it was Javier and I, not for long, we used to kind of improvise. And when I say kind of improvise, it's very difficult to improvise on the bagpipes. So it would really be to take some pipe tunes I already know, traditional ones and so on, and put them to a rhythm he might play. So he would start, a Latin rhythm, some sort of rumba or something, and I would play some reels to it. And if it worked, we would keep that going, and if it didn't, we would do something else.
Mm-hmm.
But you can start it sort of any of the few ways. You can start from a pipe melody and build in guitar and drums. You can start with a rhythm, or you can start with some sort of guitar riff and build on top of that. It's been sort of a combination of both, and when we're actually playing here, we just sort of play the strongest ones, the ones that have been most rehearsed, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
The best band in Edinburgh.
What you just heard was a weathered old man in a kilt and a long white ponytail who wandered up to us while we were interviewing the Blowfish.
The best band in Edinburgh. Living here, they are the best buskers we have seen during the festival, even before the festival. They are fantastic.
Very energetic, aren't they?
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Davey, have you?
Sorry, on the...
By the fourth member of the band there, huh?
It's good to know that you have roadies, that you have people that follow you around.
Good for us to know as well, yeah.
Were you performing at the festival, at the Big Fringe?
Yeah, well, actually, we do what we do anyway, but it, in some ways it becomes more difficult during the Fringe because so many things set up. There's so much going on, you can't just expect to have a whole bit to yourself.
No, of course.
But there was a little stage set up on the Royal Mile during Fringe, and we did a few sets on there,
mm-hmm.
So played on a little stage in front of an audience. That was very good fun. You can't play as often, really, during the festival because there's so many things, but enough to keep the music going and
mm-hmm.
different audiences see it.
And are you hearing anything like that fella right there? Does anybody recognize? Have you ever been recognized on the street? Has anybody said, "Hey, you're that guy that plays those
yeah.
those tiny portable drums in that bagpipe band"?
Actually, yeah. We have from time to time. We've been buying lunch and been asked for a photograph. I was buying shoes once and a lady asked for an autograph. No, that was nice. But it's just. You feel famous, but you can't quite let it go to your head. It's really only because we're always here in Edinburgh and people
yeah.
have already seen us. So it's not, you know, if we go outside Edinburgh, people go, "Oh my God, is that bad?" Or well, at least we sort of hope not, you know, presumably not anyway.
Yeah.
It's nice though. It's nice that people come up and say hello. It's just friendly, really.
Now, of course, busking is an indiscriminate art and thus carries certain expectations. Moss asked if the Blowfish had any bizarre stories, but they were actually very courteous to their clientele.
Not really, no. No, not bizarre enough.
Yeah, not really stories, more just experiences. Like, every city has, how can we put it, locals, I suppose, you know. Locals who are enthusiastic and who've had a few drinks and who might want to have a dance while the band's playing, but who might put people off buying CDs because of their drunken dancing. But that's all speculation. I can't confirm any of that, you know.
Remember that Spinning Blowfish are a street band, so a great deal of their money comes from donations and from happy listeners grabbing a copy of their demo CD.
Yeah, because we sell the album, and that's a difference as well. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, so. It's nice having that set price that it says just £5 right there.
Yeah, it's only 5 tracks, so I mean, I think it's a fair price anyway. And we could, I guess most of the money comes from the album, actually, from the, well, not the album, the recording.
Do you have any ambitions for this little band right here? Do you have any plans? Have anything to do with this?
Well, we're kind of we're pretty much open about that, actually. Obviously, you want your band to be successful, however you define that. At the moment, a lot of people are hearing our music and taking our CDs from, so that, in a way, is a sort of success. We want to keep moving the music forward and composing more tunes and actually having albums and things like this, of course. And if we got to play more actual gigs and concerts and things like that, of course, that's I suppose every band wants to do that. But we do enjoy playing in the streets as well, because you get a lot of support from people and encouragement, and it's a nice thing to do. So kind of whatever happens, really, in a way.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. That's great,
It'd be great. Do you guys have, like, a promotional shot, like, of the three of you? Have you got, like, a photograph or something?
I'll take one.
Oh, there we go. Actually, yeah, that's good. Do you mind?
Yeah, sure.
Is that all right?
The Spinning Blowfish, everybody.
Well, that's about the end of our episode. You see, we unfortunately never actually found a bagpipe in Scotland that we could practice on, so there's no contest this month.
We tried very hard, but it turns out that bagpipes are sort of a personal thing. You don't just go around blowing some random dude's pipe.
True words were never spoken.
But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have any contest.
This podcast needs to be up tomorrow morning. I'm not building a bagpipe.
No, we don't need a bagpipe. We can just busk. Let's hit the streets and see if we can make any money using our own personal skills.
It's 10:30 p.m. in a Soyuz.
I'll get my sketchbook.
Hey, do we have any fruit? Oranges for sale! Fresh oranges for sale here.
Draw your picture! Draw your picture!
I've got two. You can buy one, you can buy them both.
See yourself as any anthropomorphic animal. A rabbit, a duck.
Oranges? Anybody? Oranges?
Specializing in rabbits and ducks. Draw your picture. Draw your picture.
How much did you make?
$0. I thought I saw a loony on the sidewalk, but it was a sticker. You?
One warning from the police not to panhandle. They took my photo.
Contest over. Everybody loses.
Except, of course, the people of Edinburgh, who get to see the spinning blowfish on a daily basis. Unfortunately, they have ended their Edinburgh season. They ended it just a few days before this podcast aired, and I guess they're off to warmer climes for the winter. But when the spring sun begins to warm the soggy moors of Scotland once more, go down to the mound by the National Gallery and wait. Wait, and eventually you will be rewarded.
Yes, thank you very much to Dave, Ram, and Javier for coming on the show. And also for giving a fantastic performance when we were there. You can find the Spinning Blowfish on Facebook or follow them on Twitter at Toomchack. That's Toomchack.
They do have an EP out with some tracks that you heard here today. And if you search their name, you can find some great videos on YouTube and Vimeo of them performing. As I said before, they do a lot of jumping. Great timing, really well synchronized, and they do put on a fantastic show.
Thank you, Blowfish.
And thank you as well to everyone who listens to this show. You can find us on Facebook as well. You can go on iTunes to hear the show and rate us or leave a comment, which I strongly recommend. And you can find our website, complete with pictures and links to the Spinning Blowfish, at makeitpodcast.wordpress.com.
We'll be back next month with a full-length episode, but until then...
This is Mosher Kogel.
You like this name thing now, huh?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
And this is Taylor Arsenault.
And we made it. Oh, that's good. Should that be our new sign-off?
We can work on that. What do you say?
Make it.